Hey neighbor, you don't want to have any FOMO, so make sure you are following or subscribe to this podcast in your podcast app so you don't miss out on any episodes like the one I have for you today. I have Carrie on the show, who has been in the military 24 years. She works in the Air National Guard. I met her through our local multiples group, which is a great way to meet other moms with multiples. She has fraternal triplets, two boys and one girl, that are in the fifth grade this year. I really admire Carrie. Even if she intimidates me a little bit, it took me a long time to get the courage to ask her to be on the show. And I admire her not just because she's raised three babies with only two arms, but for her honesty and directness and drive. And she's a really great mom. She has a great relationship with her kids. We talk about her triplet pregnancy, her tummy tuck after the triplets, her divorce, and being a newly single parent. If you like this podcast, I suggest you also listen to fellow twin mom podcast called An Interview with Melissa Larina. You can tell by the title of it, it's also an interview style podcast like this one, although you'll have to listen to it to hear her amazing New York accent. She interviews a variety of people, including Dr. Sandra Dalton Smith, who talks about sacred rest, and we can all use some more of that, right? And others who inspire us moms to leave perfection behind and build a fulfilling life. Because as Melissa says, moms need to see the greatness in ourselves because we can easily see it in others. Check it out wherever you're listening to this podcast. Hey, I'm Amber, mom to boy-girl twins plus three other girls. My oldest was in kindergarten when baby five came along. I have a lot of kids and a lot of practice parenting them. But when I have a question, I turn to an expert, another mom. I believe the best advice comes from moms in the trenches, living it day in and day out. So sit back as I ask the real experts, moms like you, all the advice you asked for, and some you didn't. This is Neighborhood Twin Mom. Welcome to the neighborhood. Today on the show, I have someone that I admire very much. We met in our local twin group. Her name is Carrie, and she has fifth grade triplets, two boys and a girl, and they're all fraternal. And you tell me what your job is, because I don't know your job title. Go ahead and introduce.
Senior enlisted leader at the Financial Comptroller Squadron at the 153rd Airlift Wing here in Cheyenne.
It's the Air National Guard, right?
Correct.
You've been doing that for a really long time.
Yes, I've been in the military for 24 years. I've been in the Guard for the last eight, and prior to that in the reserves.
Let's talk about that for a second. So how does your kids fit into that?
So when my kids were born, I was a military spouse. My husband at the time was military, so I fell under the spouse preview. And then in 2015, when they were five, I transitioned to more of an active role. So now I am the military member.
So, but you said you were in the reserves. Was that before or after they were born?
I've been in the reserve since 1998. So well before they were born.
So why don't you tell us, you guys had tried to get pregnant. You guys used fertility medicine for your triplets. Tell me how that went.
We had tried to get pregnant about a year after we had been married, and we were told that we, without assistance, we weren't going to do it. So we had signed up to get my tubes tied, decided this wasn't going to be for us. We just weren't going to have kids. And then we had gone to a military ball, and I had said, let's get a picture of us. And my husband at the time looked at me and said, why? No one will ever be around to see that.
Oh.
And that just broke my heart. At that point, we canceled the appointment to get my tubes tied. I started to get in contact with fertility clinics and going through my primary care provider to pursue the fertility route. I lived in Rapid City at the time, and he had referred me to a fertility clinic in Parker, Colorado. So I had reached out to her, and my husband actually deployed at the time that I had gone down, started to get the testing. And once he finally came back, we had done one round of the hormone therapy, because the way TRICARE works is they'll cover the hormone therapy, but they won't cover anything with the word artificial associated with it.
And TRICARE is the insurance
the military
for medical
insurance, yeah. Correct. So they will cover the drugs, but not the actual in vitro piece of it. So it just so happens that the same meds that they use for the hormone therapy is the same meds they use for in vitro. So after one failed route of the hormone therapy, we decided we were going to go the in vitro route. We banked the meds, and then we just waited until it was time.
And you did three eggs.
So we transferred four. We were only going to do two. When we had originally gone down for the retrieval, they had gotten out 17 eggs, but only five of the eggs were mature. Only four of those actually split. Because my odds were so slim that even one egg would take, she pulled me aside when I got there and said, look, let's just transfer all four. I don't think your odds are to do this again are very good. Let's just transfer all four. So she lined through it and she wrote four. And she says the odds of one taking is 50%. Two taking was 10%. 5% was, or I'm sorry, 3 was 5% and didn't even give me the fourth because she didn't think it would happen. So.
Oh my gosh. So did you hesitate at all? Like, oh, four, or you were just like, no.
No, I didn't hesitate at all because I didn't want to have to go through this again. Before we had done in vitro, I had done a lot of reading about acupuncture. And at the time that I did it, Celine Dion had just ended up with twins after many failed in vitro procedures. So she did the acupuncture with it and ended up with twins. So I thought, huh, let's try this out. So I started doing acupuncture probably 3 months before I actually did in vitro. I was going 2 or 3 times a week just to get everything in line. And then when I went to the fertility clinic, they actually had me do acupuncture on the table before they did the transfer back in, and then an hour of acupuncture after the transfer as well.
Never heard of that. Is that specific? Did you request the acupuncture at the clinic, or that was kind of standard at the clinic?
It was something that I had mentioned to the fertility doctor at the time, and she definitely believed in it. So I spent the extra money. I think I paid $400 extra dollars to have the acupuncturist come to the facility, do a treatment before transfer and do a treatment after transfer. And then I did acupuncture for once a week for the first trimester and then intermittently throughout.
Oh my gosh, I'd never heard of that. Do you know other IVF people who've done it? Yeah,
I have a few friends that I had recommended because, you know, with the amount of money that you actually spend to do in vitro,
right,
I figured why not go the extra mile and try that with it. And I have several friends who did get pregnant after a failed in vitro and got pregnant with acupuncture accompanying it. So
interesting. Okay. So how many weeks were you when you found out it was triplets?
12. So I had gone in on a, oh no, actually it was earlier than that. I had gone in on a Monday and because I was spotting and they had said, let's do an ultrasound. And they said, yep, there's one. I said, okay, there's one. Cool. But the hormone level was still very high. We went in on Wednesday because the bleeding picked up. That's when they found the second one. So my husband and I were like, yay, we each get our own kid. So we were happy about that. And then on Friday rolled around and the spotting just picked up. So finally I went to the ER and I was like, I'm pregnant with twins right now. So she said, let's go up and do an ultrasound. Let's go see those heartbeats. And she's like, there's one, there's two. And she screamed, there's a third. And my friend and I, we just started crying. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, what am I going to do? I only have two arms. There's only two of us. So what are we going to do? At the time, we drove a Corvette and a CRV. And, you know, it was just our entire lives transitioned in a moment.
So your husband wasn't there with you then?
No, I had a friend take me. I was like, this is my third visit in here.
Yeah.
He actually had friends over at the house and I had come back with this ultrasound piece of paper and I showed him and he held it up and he's like, well, party's over, guys. And then it was intense.
Oh my gosh. How was the pregnancy?
The pregnancy was very calm because, and I attribute this back to the acupuncture, I didn't have morning sickness. I always would go in and say, I'm having morning sickness. She'd put a bead on my ear. She would tell me where to massage on my arm. So it completely curbed everything. I really didn't have cravings. I worked up until 24 weeks and then I went to half days. And then the week before I ended up going in for the delivery is when I stopped working. I would spend a lot of time in the pool. I would leave work half days and I would just go stand in the pool and just having all that weight lifted off my body made my back feel better. My legs felt better. I just felt better as the whole. It was very calm. There was no moments where I thought something was wrong. There was no moments where I'm craving this. I need all these things. It was really just very calm.
Yeah. So how many weeks were you when you delivered then?
I was 31 weeks, 5 days. I had gone in the day before because my blood pressure was high. It was 180 over 100. So he's like, let's admit you, let's watch you overnight. So I said, cool. My mom had come into town, so she brought me into the hospital. Stayed overnight. The following morning, they were waiting for that the protein results from the 24-hour urine study. So they gave me this big meal. My blood pressure had come down. Big meal, packed up, all ready to go. We were just waiting for those results. And in the blink of an eye, like four nurses just came running in. They all have their gowns and their caps on. They start prepping me. They're like, we're taking them right now. My husband looking at me saying, tell them no, it's too early. I'm like, I'm not telling them no. What am I going to say? My OB at the time, he was on his way out the door to a conference. I was so disappointed. He's like, I have to call someone else from the clinic to come deliver the babies. And that broke my heart. But yeah, it was within 2 hours later, they had to call the team because they had each myself and then the babies. We all had our own team. They were all on call. So they all got the call and headed in, and they were born at 353, 355, and 356. So back it was back to back. Really.
What was the plan before you went into labor? Like, we're going to wait until you get to X amount of weeks. What was the
goal was always 32 weeks. That was the milestone. That's the milestone for triplets, is to get to that 32 weeks.
Okay. So you almost made it there. 31 weeks and 5 days.
I believe that being told to stay home almost added more stress for me because I was there alone. I didn't have any distraction. It was just me there. So I almost felt like that made my blood pressure go up.
All you're doing is thinking about being pregnant.
Right. Yeah. And when I was working, I would leave work. I'd go straight to the pool and I'd stand there and I'd have this relaxing, these moments and these distractions. And when I sat at home all day, it was just me. It was all baby and there was no distraction.
So you said you were living somewhere else and going to Colorado. When you delivered, were you close to the hospital? Did you move closer or did you deliver at the hospital?
So the fertility was in Parker, Colorado.
Yeah.
We still lived in Rapid. The plan was always to deliver in Rapid. So we lived about 10 miles away near the Air Force base up there. The plan was if something happened to where they had to fly me somewhere, we would have to go east because the elevation of Rapid City to Denver, myself and the babies wouldn't have been able to handle that. They would have flown us to Sioux Falls.
Okay.
Elevation. So that was the plan if, you know, everything went awry or something bad happened, but they were equipped at Rapid and it's just a regional hospital, but they did great. It was a great experience.
And they stayed in the NICU for how long there?
Well, they stayed in the NICU for 38, 40, and 42 days. They came home. The last one came home on Christmas Eve in 2010. So from then on, it was a blur. When they first came home, they slept in these rocker recliners. I completely steered clear of swings. I steered clear of constant movement because that meant whenever they were still, they wanted to be held. And I couldn't do that. So I never went the route of a swing. They had these rocker recliners where I kicked the leg up where it would vibrate a little bit. I fed them in there. And it was till they were about 10 pounds that I transitioned them into the cribs. And then I would have two of them in one and one in the other. When they came home, they were on that 4-hour feeding schedule, and we stuck to that to a T every 4 hours. And then as time went on, we would go to 4.5. Then we would go to 5. Then we would go to 5.5. My husband and I, we would break up the feedings where he would take that late night feeding, and then I would take the early morning feeding. So we would each get some sleep, some good sleep in a night, usually about 6 hours. There were times where, you know, he'd get up to help me or I'd get up to help him, but it was a blur. Those first few months are definitely a blur. At so nighttime.
Like chunk sleeping so that you get longer stretches. We did that too. It was.
Yep. Yeah. Clutch. In the nighttime feedings, another triplet mom. So I was in these triplet groups. Another triplet mom had called it this. They call it ninja feeding. At night when a baby would wake up, and this was like either the midnight or the 4 a.m. feeding, you go in, don't turn the lights on. You don't talk to them. You don't stimulate them at all. You pick them up, change them, give them a bottle, and do that to all three of them. And then they would instantly fall back asleep. They would never, there was never that drive or that desire to get up. They would just fall right back asleep. So that concept always stuck. And I never did the crying it out because I would go in there. If there was a upset baby, I would just go in there and I would stand there and I would rub their back or I'd pat their back. I never picked them up. Because then that was what they would always want, is that pickup. So I steered clear of that type of thing.
Do you have any regrets about the early days? If you had triplets again, would you do different about the early days?
I would have stayed home. I had gotten a nanny early on. I didn't take my maternity leave until they actually got out of the hospital. Mm-hmm. So 2 weeks after the delivery, I went back to work waiting for them to come home. I went back to work full time and I had a nanny come in. I miss those days when they were so tiny. Those days aren't as predominant in my memory because I didn't have as much of it. Mm-hmm. I wish I would have stayed home early on. And I only worked for that from January until May. And then we relocated to the Air Force Academy. But I do wish I would have stayed home and had more of those baby moments, because I do miss that now.
Do you have any regrets or FOMO, I guess, about not having a singleton baby? You have the three babies all in one shot.
Yes. So I had a miscarriage, my first pregnancy ever. And this was in 2000. It was ectopic. Mm-hmm. So that was a bad one first. My second one I had with my husband that we ended up with triplets, it just stopped growing. So I do regret not having a singleton, because you have all these moms that are like, oh, I had this, I felt this, this was amazing. I didn't have labor. Mm-hmm. I didn't have pushing. I didn't have that movement. I had, oh God, something's wrong, because mm-hmm. there's not a lot of room in there. So the littlest thing, you felt it. I couldn't make a phone call to a friend and say, oh my God, I have these things. I didn't have any of that. So, and my mom made a comment recently, like, oh, it feels like, you know, when you had labor. I'm like, Mom, I didn't have labor. I felt robbed of the entire experience of having a baby, because I didn't get those moments. I didn't get, not that every woman wants to push, don't get me wrong, but I didn't have those moments to say that I did that. No, I went in for high blood pressure and I was wheeled back and I got none of that. So it's very, you feel robbed. You feel like you were shortchanged of something that you were supposed to have been able to do. And same with getting pregnant. When I couldn't get pregnant, you feel like you're less of a woman, or something's wrong with me that I couldn't get pregnant. And then on top of that, I couldn't have a labor either. So you just, you missed something, and you know that. So I can't compare my stories to anybody's.
Yeah. Yeah. So now your triplets are in fifth grade. What is their relationship like with each other?
It is complete love hate. One minute they are the best of friends and they're laughing and they're having fun. And the next minute there's this screaming coming from the basement, because my daughter, she is, when I say a mini me, I don't mean mini. She is my height at 11 years old. She's 5'4". She wears my clothes. She's size 8 foot. She is big. Compared to the boys, she's probably 30 pounds bigger than they are. So she is the bully. If everything is going great and she doesn't get her way, she will punch them. She will sit on them. She will tackle them. She will pick until there is a fight. When they're just two of them, they seem to get along better than when all three of them are together. But if you ask the teacher in school, they get along perfectly. You would never know that my kids are siblings. They're all separate. They have separate friends. They don't, you know, communicate too poorly in school, I should say. At home, it's crazy. It's chaos.
Yes. Those same things in our household too. But like, mm-hmm. how do you do that? How do you tell the kids, like, be nice to each other?
You know, I use the example of my sister and I. My sister and I are 3.5 years apart, and we are enemies. We always have been since birth. We've never been friends. We've never been close. We don't call each other on the phone and say, oh, I had this huge thing happen to me. The last person in the world I call is my sister. And I look at my friends and my sister is my best friend. They're close siblings. And I don't have that. I want them to have that. So I say, you know, look at Aunt Missy and I. We don't have a relationship, though nowadays we do try. She's 50. I'm 47. So we do try now, but we missed a lot. Mm-hmm. I didn't have that bond and that closeness. And I want them to be able to have that and to share these experiences, because, you know, you look at the school, you look at your classmates, you guys are triplets. That's big. That's huge. You guys have something that a lot of these kids wouldn't understand. So take advantage of that.
Yeah. And you said they get along at school. They are not in the same class this year, but they have previously, right?
Correct. My daughter requested at the start of the school year that she be separated from her brothers. But up until now, the principal in kindergarten had recommended that I kept them all together because we only had the two kindergarten classes. And she was afraid that if one got separated, they would feel like they were being punished. So she said, keep them together until they're ready to separate. So I've always kept them together. And then with my daughter requesting this year, Mom, can I be in a different class? Although I think she's regretting that because she sees a lot of the fun that the boys have in their class. And they're like, oh, well, they're doing this. Well, you made the decision. You know, you have the choice next year if you want to go back.
Do you think she will?
I don't think she will. I think that they've all done a lot of growing individually in the year. She was in the Laramie County Spelling Bee. They're in orchestra. You know, she's thriving in orchestra. I actually got a call from the teacher saying she is too big for a child's violin. You have to get her a full size. So they're thriving being on their own. So I think that they would request to be that way again.
So do you regret not splitting them up sooner?
Yes and no. One of them struggles a little bit more academically than the other two do. And I would feel that one would feel left out.
Okay.
So I don't know.
Yeah. It's like what is that called? Like if you change one thing, is that right? You're like, never know.
You really never know.
You never know. Okay. So now for some personal questions that I'm super interested in. So you have to tell me the name of the surgery, but basically you had a tummy tuck after the triplets. What started like, hey, I need to get a tummy tuck or I want to get a tummy tuck. What was the impetus of you having the surgery?
Right. So this is when my husband was deployed. He had left to go to Afghanistan for a year. I relocated because at the time my triplets were just over a year. I relocated to live with my mom and dad.
For extra support and help?
Yes, just for triplets. Extra support. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I was a full-time student. I was trying to get my bachelor's degree, still working in the Air National Guard, but I didn't want to be left alone because I didn't have family at the Air Force Academy or in Colorado. Mm-hmm. So I just wanted that support. So I relocated back to Wisconsin to live with my family. What caught my attention with it was my belly button was herniated. So when I would go to sit up, there would be that bulge in my belly button. So I had gone to get a referral to go see a doc about that. And then he had felt the abdominal separation. And they said it was about 2 fingers wide. And I said, can you get that fixed? He goes, yes, you can, but I can't fix that. So once I figured out that TRICARE, the insurance company, would cover the hernia repair, I asked the doc, hey, do you work with a plastic surgeon? He says, I do. So I coordinated the hernia repair and the plastic surgery at the same time. So one doctor went in, started, got everything opened up, fixed that hernia. Then the plastic surgeon came in and finished it. He stitched up the abdominal muscles so they were tight again. He pulled down the skin so everything was all tight. Got rid of that C-section scar, although I do still have a scar there from the tummy tuck, but, you know, made everything look nice and tight and back like it was supposed to. I didn't put on a whole lot of weight. I put on 45 pounds. I wasn't even 200 pounds when I delivered. 197 is where I capped out. When I first started the in vitro process, I was about 145. So, you know, with all the hormones, you put on a little bit of weight, but then I only put on about 50 pounds-ish. So there wasn't a whole lot of skin there. So they just pulled everything down, tightened it up.
What was the recovery like from the surgery?
Much easier, in my opinion, than it was for the C-section.
Really?
Yes, because from the C-section, I had gotten a hematoma that formed. Mm-hmm. And that was so painful. The day after delivery, you could be talking to me and I would just fall asleep. I had lost so much blood. I couldn't even stay awake. I was lethargic. They had ran a test. They're like, she needs blood. So they came in, gave me some blood. After that, I felt great, but it still took about 2 weeks for them to realize that I had that hematoma. So I had gone in to see the babies in the NICU, ran into an OB and I said, yeah, I got this really bad pain here. And she said, come by my office tomorrow. We'll take a look. And I did. I went by her office and she said, lay back. This is going to be a little bit of pressure. And she popped one of those huge Q-tips straight through my incision, and water and blood just gushed everywhere. But it was such a relief to have that pressure. So I think that that's why the tummy tuck was so much easier, I guess, for me, because I didn't have that pain. And when I think of the C-section, it's all that pain. It was horrible. But the recovery was, you know, you can't stand upright and you're literally swollen for about 6 months in the waistline. And you wear Spanx for a few months to get everything to tighten back down. And yeah, it's definitely worth it.
When you're pregnant, your ab muscles are gone. Mm-hmm. So like things like standing from a chair is difficult. So right. Did you notice a big difference after you had the repair in like back pain and being able to move and exercise?
Yes, it was much easier to do those things that were painful or that you just felt fatigued from doing and you just didn't have the support in your trunk to do a lot of that. Once you get the tummy tuck and you get those abdominal muscles repaired, you know, it's like night and day of how, I mean, even from before I had the kids, my abdominal muscles are probably more flat and it all still looks flat even, you know, 8 years later.
What are the comments that you get mostly from people when they find out that you had the tummy tuck?
You know, a lot of people don't say anything because they either would like to do it and they want to ask the questions of, you know, how did you go about that? And I am an open book. I will tell anybody exactly how I did it and what I did. Like, did you know that if you go to a plastic surgeon with cash, they might get you a discount?
Yeah.
And that's what I did. I went to the plastic surgeon and I said, look, I have $4,500 cash. Could you give me this tummy tuck? He goes, well, it's a little bit more than that, but I can give you a military discount and I will take $4,500. So that's how I paid for my tummy tuck. I just went in with cash and said, look, I can do this. Could you do it for me? And he said, yeah. Some people might, you know, they might give you the eye like, oh, you know, you got a tummy tuck. Yeah. Heck yeah, I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little bit of both.
Yeah.
Yeah.
More so positive than people, the naysayers who like, oh, you shouldn't have done that. Yeah. I have a lot more people that are supportive of it and they want to know what it is, how do they go about it, and what was the recovery, because they're interested. They want to get it done too.
Would you have done a tummy tuck if you didn't have the hernia?
Yes. Yep. Just because I am smaller figured and just that pouch that went from your belly button to your pubic bone, that there's that just that pouch there from where babies sit. And I didn't care for it.
Fair enough.
Yeah. Personal preference, really. If people don't mind it, I didn't care for it. I didn't feel like the way my jeans felt when I wore them. I didn't like the way I felt in a bathing suit. You know, it was just, there's a lot of personal driving factors to get something like that done. And that's all personal choice.
Yeah. So you are now a single parent. How long has it been? Like a year and a half?
2020. We got divorced.
Yeah. So you are single, well, co-parenting because he lives in town too. What is it like as a new single parent of three kids?
It's tiring. Honestly, people ask like, well, what do you do for fun? Well, personally, I sleep. When I get a free moment, I go to sleep. It's important that throughout the day, I find something for me. Mm-hmm. And usually that for me moment comes at 4:30 in the morning, because that's when I go to the gym. That's the only moments of the day that I have for me. The kids are still sleeping. I'm not at work yet. I don't have 10 people pulling at me. So I make sure that I go and get that taken care of, get that me moment where I can revive, refresh, go to the gym, come back home, get ready for work. And then I wake my kids up. So it is tiring, but you have to definitely make time for yourself.
Do you have the kids most of the time, or is it a pretty split custody?
So when he was deployed, I purchased his home for him very close to where I live. So our kids would always have the ability to go back and forth. It's pretty 50-50. I mean, he's military too, and he does deploy quite frequently, but it is 50-50 when we're here. So they go back and forth. We're very flexible. If he calls up and says, hey, I want to take the kids over here, as long as there's nothing going on, I let him. And then same with me, if he has them and I say, hey, can I steal a kid to go do this? We do that too. His girlfriend is wonderful. She too will call up and say, hey, can I steal one of the kids to go do this? Yeah, it's great. They are a great support system for me. And I love both of them very much.
You're very mature. Your kids are lucky that you guys have a healthy relationship with each other still. How have you been able to have such a healthy relationship with your ex-husband?
So before we got divorced, our marriage.
Well, I shouldn't say healthy. I'm overstepping. It sounds like your children are comfortable in both households, and that I don't know how to say that. I shouldn't assume that it's a healthy relationship, but it seems like it's a healthy relationship for the kids.
It's healthy. You know, my ex and I have the same relationship that we had toward the end of our marriage. We're great friends. We still laugh together. We still get along great. I will still call him. He'll call me. It is a great relationship to have. You know, there's still going to be feelings that arise from myself. You know, he is in a new relationship, and it's hard to watch that from afar because, you know, you think to yourself, well, things could have been different for us, but they weren't, you know, it is what it is now. I make sure that I don't ever say anything negative about him. It's all supportive. Even if I don't really feel it in my heart that it's supportive, I don't want them to ever think less of him or less of her or less of me, because we are the ones that are molding them. Mm-hmm. How they respond to things in their future are driven by how they see us respond as adults now. I make sure that the communication is always there. I text both of them openly. They've both come into my home. They're both welcome here at any time. We've actually invited my ex and his girlfriend down to my parents' house to spend the summer with us. It's, you know, I couldn't ask for a better woman to be in my kids' life than her. So it's been very good.
What do you do to make your load easier as a single parent?
That's hard. Cause I'm a very control freak. Mm-hmm. I don't give up much of my responsibility to anybody. I'm lucky enough to right now have my nephew staying with me. His husband is deploying. So he's staying with me during that time. So he's been a huge support for me to help me get them to school. Or if my ex is not available, I rely on him heavily, and he's been great. So I do ask for help from him, but outside of that, I don't typically reach out too much for help.
Because you're a control freak.
I am, because I'm very much a control freak.
But what is it that you are worried about? That they're not going to do things the way that you do it, or that your kids aren't going to be safe?
No, it's not that. It's being raised in a generation where you don't ask for help. You do it on your own. That was something my parents always instilled in me. And my boss yells at me every day. It's like, you have to ask for help. We are here for you. I'm like, I know. I struggle with that concept that if I can't do it myself, I'm failing. So that might mean that I'm staying up way past when I should, or I'm overtasking myself and I let something fall through the cracks. And that does happen. But one thing that will never fall through the cracks are my kids. They will always be first. If that means I'm late for work one day, then I'm late for work. If I have to reschedule my hair appointment or miss my nail appointment, I miss those things for my kids.
Why don't you tell me your best advice for, I say twin parents, so I'll just say parents of multiples. So,
the best advice in these groups, and I see mom's posts like, I am failing. I can't get this right. I can't get this right. Every day is going to be full of adventure. It's going to be full of excitement, and it is going to be full of failure and disappointment too. That doesn't mean that we as parents are failures. We get up and today might be a far cry from yesterday. What worked yesterday isn't going to work today. What worked yesterday for that kid will not work on that other kid at all. So constantly learn from, I don't want to say mistakes, but learn from your kids. Learn from the mistakes that you made, learn from the failures, learn from the successes. Tomorrow is going to come whether today was a success or not. So, you know, just work to make tomorrow a little brighter. You're still going to have failures. You're still going to struggle, but that doesn't mean you as the parent are failures. You're doing a great job. They're alive and you're alive too. That's it. My mom always would yell at me because I'd send my kids over there and she'd send them home and they've had like marshmallow and Nutella sandwiches. I'm like, Mom, that's not lunch. That's too much sugar. And she would just look at me and she goes, they're not dead, are they? That's true. I will just say that. As long as you can go to bed at night and kids are still alive, you're doing a pretty damn good job.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, Carrie, you are, I mean, we talked earlier, I'm like, triplet moms in general just impress me because I have twins with, you know, and I have two arms and I, you know, there's two adults that can take care of these two babies, but just being a triplet mom, I hated when people would call me super mom. I'm like, you just do it because that's what you're dealt. But like, you impress me. Mostly you impress me because of your attitude though. And that is something that you do control. So you impress me. And I'm so thankful that you agreed to do this interview.
Yes, I appreciate you having me on.
Thanks for hanging out with me today. If you want to hang out some more, you can follow me on Instagram at @neighborhoodtwinmom. If you want more info on what we talked about in this episode or a transcription of the audio, head to neighborhoodtwinmom.com. If you like what you hear, please leave a 5-star rating and review. This helps other people be able to find the podcast. Music for this episode was composed by Cameron Norby. Find more of his work on YouTube.